Pawtucket to the shores of Orange Beach and all points in between. An insider's perspective on Alabama politics. It's the Jeff Poor Show.
I don't think Hank done it this way.
Welcome back to the Jeff Poor Show on FM Talk 106.5. Thank you so much for listening on this Friday as we head into the Labor Day weekend. We do appreciate it. 251-343-0106. Keep them coming, guys. As I always say, more relevant pictures, the better. Coming in about 30 minutes, our returning champion joins us, State Senator Chris Elliott. That and more. Stay tuned. But join us now. It's always great to bring on my next guest. He is the congressman for the 5th Congressional District, and he is running for United States Senate all over the state of Alabama on campaign trail these days. Congressman Bo Brooks with us. Congressman, good morning. How are you?
Good morning.
Congressman, first off, before you get rolling here, give us a campaign update. Tell us how things are going.
Well, the polling is looking great. We had two polls that have come out in the last couple of weeks, one by the establishment that appeared to be designed to try to suppress my numbers. I say that because, you know, there are only four candidates who are running. Well, in the poll, they had a fifth candidate, someone else, which, of course, siphons off votes. If you suddenly throw in there, say, Bradley Byrne or Roy Moore or Jeff Sessions or whoever else you may envision, but even in that, we were more than double the second place finisher. And then we had a larger poll done this past weekend. The establishment poll was 600. Ours was 1,800 and something. And the most important question is, well, what's a runoff scenario look like? And in that one, we were up 61 to 18 if you take the top two candidates, with the undecideds breaking about 2-1 in our favor. By undecideds, I'm talking about when you have a poll of the four announced candidates, and then all of a sudden you cut it down to two. We were getting roughly 2/3 of the votes of those people who participated in the runoff scenario. But in the primary scenario, we're either undecided or voting for somebody else. So that's very, very encouraging. I hope we can hold that up. It's going to be a challenge because the special interest groups, the establishment, are pouring a ton of money into the second place finishers' coffers. So that's going to be our challenge.
Well, tell me this. You have the Trump endorsement, but some of these polls suggest that maybe people aren't aware of that. Do you find that to be an issue or not, or the issue that when you talk to people, they're just maybe not aware that you have this endorsement from the former president who, you know, could be the guiding, the northern star for a lot of the way people handle their voting behavior?
Well, certainly the news media generally is not highlighting that President Trump has endorsed Mo Brooks for the United States Senate in Alabama, nor are they highlighting why President Trump has endorsed Mo Brooks for the United States Senate in Alabama. So you would still anticipate there being a lot of Alabama citizens who don't know it because it's not being publicized. So it's going to be incumbent upon my campaign when we get closer to the May primary to make sure that we invest enough money in advertising to ensure that the public knows who, at least in Donald Trump's eyes, is the MAGA candidate.
Yeah, and
everybody's claiming to be MAGA, but in President Trump's eyes, there's only one.
But that seems to be that's your. I mean, not right now. You still have a commanding lead. But I gotta think once people become more aware of that, then you see a little bit of you see that number for you go up a little bit more.
One would hope so, given that Donald Trump's popularity amongst likely Republican primary voters is through the roof. Given that there's also significant polling data that suggests that Donald Trump's endorsement of a particular candidate would carry a lot of weight, not only is because of the loyalty to Donald Trump, but it's also why. That's the key part to me. Why is Donald Trump endorsing Mo Brooks to the exclusion of the other candidates? But that's a part of our job. As a candidate, as a campaign, we have to get that word out. I wish the news media would assist in that regard, but by and large, they do not. I understand it, particularly the left-wing news media outlets in Alabama, for example, AL.com, some of the TV stations, they don't want to touch anything at all that has to do with helping a conservative win this Senate race.
Congressman, let's talk about matters of national importance. Obviously, I guess you're keeping an eye on what's going on with the Afghanistan situation. Let me ask you like this. We had your colleague Gary Palmer on earlier. I think Biden's taking a real blow here. The polling backs that up, that he is wounded politically. He doesn't have a lot of political capital to expend. So I wonder how you think this impacts the spending packages the Democrats are insisted upon. Does that somehow help the cause of keeping some of the stuff that the Democrats want passed from getting passed?
In politics and in Washington, everything is interrelated. If you're trying to muscle through what Americans, generally speaking, would consider bad legislation, you can only muscle it through if you have polling numbers that intimidate congressmen and senators into supporting this bad legislation because of who is requesting it. Now that Joe Biden's polling numbers have cratered, I think you're going to see Democrat congressmen and senators shying away from the White House to a greater degree than they would have, say, back in February or March when Joe Biden's numbers were still sky high. So Joe Biden's honeymoon period is definitely over with. In fact, it looks like divorce negotiations have already begun between the Joe Biden White House on the one hand and the Democrats in the House and the Senate on the other hand.
What do you think now? What is your feeling on any of these things they're talking about, the 25th Amendment or impeachment or calls for Joe Biden just to resign? Where are you on any of those discussions?
I have publicly, in a news release, called for his resignation as a matter of honor. That's number one. Number two, failing his resignation, I have publicly called for Kamala Harris to initiate Amendment 25 removal proceedings. And if the cabinet and Kamala Harris decline to do that, then I've called for investigative hearings regarding impeachment. To determine whether there are lawful grounds for impeachment. Keep in mind, in the Constitution, there has to be treason, bribery, high crimes, or misdemeanors. I personally believe that those have been committed by Joe Biden. The Constitution, by way of example, states that giving aid and comfort to the enemy is an impeachable offense. That's in the Constitution. And certainly, Joe Biden has, at least in my judgment, given aid and comfort to the Taliban and to other terrorist elements in Afghanistan by the way in which he has conducted this withdrawal, by the way in which he has given so much working military equipment to our foes in Afghanistan. But still, that's something that needs to be investigated and better explored in a public hearing so that the public can determine what actually happened with this Afghanistan withdrawal debacle. Then you've also got a constitutional provision that states that it is the federal government's constitutional duty to protect states from invasion. An invasion, if you look at the dictionary definition, is not limited to an armed force, an army or something like that. It's basically any unwanted element that comes into your country. And in this instance on the southern border, it is quite clear that Joe Biden, at least to me, it's quite clear, that Joe Biden has not fulfilled his constitutional duties to defend California, New Mexico, Arizona, and Texas from the southern border invasion. But still, I've got my opinion. I want us to initiate hearings on impeachment so that we can have a full exploration of the potential grounds for impeachment and carry it on from there. Now, as an aside, yesterday morning, the House Armed Services Committee had a vote on whether we had confidence in the abilities of Joe Biden to be our commander-in-chief, and the Republicans voted 28-0 that we had lost confidence in Joe Biden's ability to be commander-in-chief of the United States Armed Forces. On the flip side, though, the Democrats on the House Armed Services Committee voted 31-0 that they had confidence in the ability of the president to be our commander-in-chief. They're really sticking their necks out on that one, particularly since the overwhelming impression of the American voters is that he is not a capable commander-in-chief, as evidenced by the debacle in Afghanistan, made only worse by Joe Biden's declaration that it was a success. Nobody of consequence in America believes that.
Congressman, one thing I've noticed Democrats, your Democratic colleagues are trying to do, I think this is really gets to the PR apparatus backing Nancy Pelosi, is it steered a conversation back to January 6th. And I know, I'm sure you've been, you know, just you see the news reports as well as I do. I don't know if it's going to stick or not, but I did see Kevin McCarthy makes a very interesting comment about warning, seeking your electronic communications and some of your colleagues that if they proceed and they try to do this and warning to the telecoms, if they cooperate, then you know, when the Republicans have control, that there could be repercussions. Is that a fair interpretation?
Yes, it is a fair interpretation. The Fourth Amendment to the United States Constitution protects American citizens from illegal, unlawful, invasive searches and seizures. There is a probable cause, a standard in the United States Constitution. It's one thing if you're just getting telephone numbers called or that called you without any communications being a part of that effort. It's another thing if this witch hunt committee goes after the nature of the communication. For example, emails. Those are protected by the United States Constitution, Fourth Amendment. That's your right of privacy with respect to those communications. It's another thing if they're going after your text messages. That's protected by the United States Constitution, and the United States Supreme Court has so held. And so it looks like the witch hunt committee is engaging in Gestapo or KGB tactics that are in clear violation of the Fourth Amendment, and they ought to be ashamed. And those two Republicans, Adam Kinzinger and Liz Cheney, if they're going to participate in this kind of illegal conduct, then they need to, if they're going to go full-blown Democrat, fine, they have that right. They can switch parties, but they need to withdraw and resign from the Republican conference because they are doing a great disservice to the Republican conference when they're acting as shills for the Democrat conference and the witch hunt committee.
Well, explain this to me with the witch hunt committee. They can issue subpoenas. They cannot. Are they not allowed to subpoena phone records? Maybe I'm misinterpreting that, but does this not fall within
their
purview?
They're going way beyond phone records.
Well, or whatever it might be.
They are also seeking emailed communications, which are protected by the Fourth Amendment. Now, keep in mind, if this committee has probable cause, if the government has probable cause, fine. You can make some progress then, okay? That's when you can get search warrant. That's when you can get the kind of information that you desire. But first, you have to establish probable cause. You can't just engage in fishing expeditions where, in fact, you're trying to get private personal communications wholly unrelated to the function of the witch hunt committee, and then you can see them using that in political campaigns, which seems to be the purpose for why they are seeking this kind of information.
Well,
if they're seeking information from me, by way of example, that relates to what happened on January 6th, they ain't going to find anything of substance. But if they're looking for communications between my wife and I, my children and I, my grandchildren and I, close friends of mine, or congressional campaign communications or senatorial campaign communications, those are all protected. They can't have them unless they first establish probable cause as to why those types of communications are somehow related to their witch hunt. And they can't establish that. And so they should not have them. We are not a police state in the United States of America. We still have civil liberties. And in this instance, the Pelosi Republicans, that being Adam Kinzinger and Liz Cheney, coupled with the socialists, they are stomping on and burning the United States Constitution and the Bill of Rights with this kind of overly broad request.
Well, what was curious to me, it seems like this committee is functioning like an arm of law enforcement. And whenever it is portrayed on the media, or in the media, particularly MSNBC, they cite a bunch of DOJ rules. But this is a legislative inquiry, not an inquiry by the executive branch. If indeed
it's still the government.
Right. But if indeed they thought it was.
The Fourth Amendment protects us from government conduct that is intrusive. And the government cannot get into this information without first having established probable cause that a crime was committed and that someone committed it.
But I understand that. But I guess my point is this, that shouldn't this be the role of the Department of Justice? Shouldn't this be the role of the executive branch? If they think that a crime was committed, it shouldn't be in the hands of the legislative branch. This is not the duty of a congressional committee. If they really believe it is criminal, then the DOJ should handle it. But apparently the DOJ is not interested in proceeding this way. So does that suggest that this is more political in nature? That was my question.
It is very political in nature. The Witch Hunt Committee is not seeking information that would enlighten the American people on what happened on January the 6th. They may get some of that from somebody. It won't be from Mo Brooks because there's nothing there. And I don't know of anything there with respect to anybody else. But in my judgment, the primary purpose of this witch hunt that the Witch Hunt Committee has engaged in is purely political, trying to get information that can be useful in campaigns. Particularly if it's taken out of context and distorted, which so often is what happens with the fake news media at the national Democrat level and also by Democrat operatives. That's where they're going for. Now, by way of example, my wife and I, when we communicate with each other, we might say something in a text message that's rather mushy, okay? And there might be political operatives who can figure out, not X-rated, don't get me wrong, but mushy. A lot of icons dealing with hearts. And I just hate the idea that this witch hunt committee thinks that in the United States of America, it is okay to seize those kind of communications between a husband and wife, not even getting to the issue of the marital privilege, which is also out there under law. And that's part of our rules of evidence in all state courts and the federal courts. But this witch hunt committee is, as I said earlier, they're acting like the KGB. They're acting like the Gestapo. They are stomping on and burning our United States Constitution, the Fourth Amendment, which protects us from this kind of governmental intrusion. And the Supreme Court has consistently ruled that the Witch Hunt Committee cannot seize the very wide breadth of information that they're trying to seize. And so at some point, I expect that you're going to see some legal actions to try to stop the Witch Hunt Committee from disregarding and stomping on the United States Constitution.
Congressman, we're going to leave it there, but real quick, folks want to check out your campaign. Tell them where to look.
Please go to mobrooks.com. We need your help. I'm up against the special interest group, Open Borders Wing, the Republican Party. They're pouring money into the campaign coffers of one of my opponents. So if you want a real conservative, someone who will fight for our conservative principles that have combined to make America the greatest nation in world history, we could use your help. Go to mobrooks.com.
Congressman, we appreciate your time this morning. Let's talk again soon.
All right. My pleasure. Take care, Jeff.
Congressman Mo Brooks, Alabama's 5th Congressional District, also candidate for U.S. Senate. We got to get a timeout here. We'll be right back. This is FM Talk 106.5.